Is the president missing the opportunity to do something truly great? Well, it is possible, says our next guest. He is an American business ethics expert and the author of The Dividends of Decency. His name is Don Shepherd. Welcome to the show. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, Josh. It's so good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here. So let's start a little bit with your background before we get to what we're currently seeing. Tell us a little bit about you.
I grew up in a mining town in northern Ontario in Canada. That upbringing sort of made me who I am as a person long term. And I left there. I started work at the age of 17, no college, obviously, and went off into the business world and applied myself rather aggressively and rose up through the ranks of some major consulting firms in Toronto, and then transferred to San Francisco, and then to Los Angeles, where I started my own business in 1985 in employee communication consulting. And I built that up to a very successful business that I sold to Omnicom in 2000. I went from there into philanthropy. I along the way, did other things like do the Ironman three times, like ride my bike across the country, like riding across the Pyrenees. Just my life is a study, and it's in the book, of overcoming major obstacles, achieving pretty significant challenges, and that's where I am today. And then I took on another major challenge. Josh, I wrote that book.
Yeah, that is a challenge. Having written a few myself, it's some heavy lifting at times. So let's talk about this then, the decency, yep. The dividends of decency. Yep. Before we get to the president himself and all that sort of stuff, what's the general concept there?
It's that successful leaders have and live with integrity and ethics. And you can't fake it. If you don't have integrity or values, it'll become obvious. And so success in life and in business is really driven by being a decent human being. And the dividends of being a decent human being are great, both whatever your goals and missions are. The dividends of decency are that you'll be successful in business, in life, in relationships. That's the essence. And the opposite isn't true. There is no reward or success, in my definition, for not being a decent human being.
Do you think, though, Pete, there's people out there who are actually saying to themselves, I'm trying to not be a decent person?
No, of course not. And it goes back to who you are. That's exactly right. There aren't degrees of it either, by the way. You can't just say, well, today I'll be I'll have integrity and, this is a good place for ethics. It has to be you. No, not trying. It's who they are. And in one of your pieces, I think it was on one of your keynote talks, you talked about becoming the person you want others to experience. And you're saying personal growth has to go with actually living it out. And you also say that the leadership training is worthless. It's time leaders give up the fluff and really become leaders. And that's all I'm saying, too. No, you can't go and take a course and be that good person. And there are people out there who don't own integrity, ethics, and values. It's not a back and forth. It's who they've become through whatever experiences in life and however they've been raised. That's too long an answer to your simple question.
No one
goes out there to seek out to be not a good person. You either are or you aren't.
So that leads to an interesting point then. When we vote, we're voting according to what we view as decent then, aren't we? I mean, it's kind of a reflection of us more so than maybe even the candidate.
Yeah, it should be. I wrote an op-ed, Josh. Now, you're not going to – I don't mean to raise controversy, but I wrote an op-ed that really said, where did the Republican Party replace courage with cowardice on their platform. And it's really that issue of people doing the right thing and standing up for what's right. People, when they vote, unfortunately, are faced with some very difficult decisions, and it's rarely just a simple thing of voting for someone who's going to do right. But that's the way it should be. I think people want it, demand it. They demand it in their life and their leaders and their business leaders. People demand it, more so today than ever before. But when they get to vote, it's difficult, in my view, Josh, to have that choice. Because it isn't always there.
Well, and everybody always feels like they're voting for the lesser of two evils, which is why half of all eligible voters don't even vote. So even when we see somebody win, it's whoever got 26%, not really whoever got 51.
Oh, that's so true. I'll tell you, if you don't mind, a short interesting story. I did a community thing, a book signing, blah, blah, blah. And I talked to the young people that were there about the importance of voting, and this young lady, 15 years old, can't vote for a few years, came up to me after, and she looked me in the eye with all sincerity. She said, even when I can vote, I can't even think of voting because I think the government is totally corrupt. And I think she was saying it to shock me, and I said to her, I agree with you. I happen to agree with you. It is, but the only way it's ever going to change is if people en masse use the only tool they have, and that is to vote. And I told her to be part of the various movements that are demanding change. Yes. Is there any chance at all of ever getting beyond a situation of voting for the lesser of evils? Oh, my God, 2016, wasn't that ugly? Anyway, so this young lady, I said, she says, well, I can't make any difference. I said, no, individually you can't, but think of the Parkland kids. Think of the Me Too movement. Think of the Women's March. I said, it's the aggregation of people who want change that can affect it. And I said, so don't just think of voting. Think of being involved. Get out there. Voice your opinion. Support people that you think are doing the right thing. And I said, that if you don't, you're simply enabling this corrupt situation to go on. I'm sorry for that.
No, it's
but
fine.
You're so right. It's we end up, the people who are voting vote for the lesser of evils, and it's so wrong, Josh. It's so wrong. It's still the best system in the world, by the way, in my view, and I think most people do. It's the best system in the world. I'm Canadian originally, and I understand the parliamentary system rather well. The American system is absolutely the best in the world, but we need to improve it.
And I think a lot of that has to do with improving ourselves. I tell people all the time that candidates are the result of culture. Candidates don't create culture. So, well, let's take a pause right there. We're up against a break. We'll continue this conversation right after this. Don't go anywhere.
All right, we're talking to Donald Shepard, author of The Dividends of Decency. And we were talking about the background and the idea behind it.
And I guess at some point we have to get to the current political situation because this is the interesting thing about the Trump-Hillary world that we're seemingly still living in is both sides think the other side is completely indecent. The Hillary supporters want Trump impeached. The Trump supporters want Hillary arrested. And if decency is a common denominator, then how can both sides be so wrong?
Well, I think you are right in terms of a so-called entrenched group of far right, far left. I think, Josh, the majority of people are where you and I are, and that is that it's not the issue of Republican versus Democrat and the various positions. I think we want, let me give you an example. I am a lifelong Republican. I'm 70 years old. I've built a successful business. I happen to be in the 1%. I've voted for John McCain proudly, Mitt Romney. I couldn't vote for Donald Trump because I think it's also important for us to have leaders that we can be proud of and that can lead our country in a positive way. So I think, Josh, that, and I know you're, I've read some things of yours, and I know you're this way, the majority of the people between those two extremes are looking for the right way. And the problem is so many of the politicians are controlled by big donors and lobbyists and are not doing the right thing for the people because they're being controlled or influenced by other people. But I don't think it's a hate Trump or hate Hillary issue. It's not with me. It's simply I want a leader that can do good things for the country and lead us forward in a positive way. Does that make any sense?
Well, it does. And I think, you know, if we didn't have political candidates spending hundreds of millions of dollars to get us to hate our neighbors, more people would get along. But
yes.
We do seem to have a problem where there is this divide in America, though. Like, what is decent? Yes. What is moral? I mean, and like, for example, yes. The whole transgender thing. You know, some people are going to say, well, you shouldn't do it. Some people say, you know, do it if you want to. Who gets to be the arbitrator on who's right?
Well, God, in my world, it's certainly not individuals. And it's you see, what is decent? You know, here's where what you're saying makes the most sense. The evangelicals. I happen to be a Christian, and I mean really a practicing Christian. Anyway, the evangelicals are strong supporters of Trump, and yet they ignore who that person is because in their minds, the end justifies the means. I'm not being critical. I'm not challenging them. They've decided that the end justifies the means. They've got someone who's listening to them, someone who will help overturn Roe v. Wade, someone who will give them more voice in government. So they've made a decision. They made a decision that the end justifies the means, and they won't be drawing a judgment on decency. On the other side, it can just be a so-called righteous view, but anything Trump does is indecent. I'm not there either. So who gets to be the arbiter? Well, I'd like to think that that's what voting's all about and what our democracy is. And what it means is we need to be electing leaders who aren't just the leader because of all the money they've had to spend, but because of what they stand for. It's what the Parkland kids are, and I don't care whether you agree with this or not, it's irrelevant, but the Parkland kids are doing is taking a stand, saying we want to vote for politicians who support banning assault rifles, as an example. That's what I think, Josh, is the answer. It's not a matter of choosing what's decent. It's simply, in your conscience, what's the right thing that should be done and what's important, and vote on that basis. And of course, people will have different views on that, and that's why we have an election. The prevailing view is what's going to be our government.
Are we too selfish to be decent? Well, okay. So let me give some context.
I wish you and I were having coffee or whatever that goes. But here goes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. No. Yes. 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 We've in our society, we have as a culture to believe that something that's different from us is bad.
Yep.
I grew up in Northern Ontario in a mining town. And again, for demonstration purposes, we grew up thinking that the French were English, the English Canada, French Canada. We grew up thinking that the French were the devils and horrible people. And so,
just kidding.
And they lived in a different part of town, and so we would fight them and all that other stuff. When I moved to Toronto, then it was some other group. Blacks that were different from us, and so were the bad guys. And so Are we too selfish? Oh, that summarizes it so well. Our culture that you talked to earlier is exactly driving too much. What I think is the good, Josh, that's coming out of the current climate is so many people and groups speaking up and taking a stand. And I think that's going outside of their comfort zone and taking a stand with others who share their view who otherwise might be different than them. An example of that is I found it reprehensible that Muslims would just be considered as a group terrorists and people to be feared, when, of course, that's certainly not true. And so I've reached out into the community, and of course, it's true in reverse, to say they're different only in a religion, but that doesn't make them bad. So you did it on purpose. Are we all too selfish? Yes. Yes. Because we're not looking and not listening to the other side. That's true with your partisan position, too, by the way, that you talked about. Okay, I've run on too long. I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine. It's just interesting. Well, because what we see is, I mean, we do have groups that are standing up and speaking out. That's great.
Yep.
But at the same time, we see this tendency to hate the other people for standing up and speaking out. Like, you know, like the Trump supporters will have a rally, and then the people will put on, you know, fake vaginas on their heads and have a rally. And instead of saying, okay, both of you can have a rally, move on, instead somebody torches a limo and breaks into a Starbucks. Like, why can't we just say, okay, these people are this view, those people are those view.
I think that the majority of people are the people that you would respect, that have different views, certainly can respect that others have a different view. It's you and I, Josh, and the majority of the people in America. That what you're talking about are the extremists on any position. They're not. They're being given way too much attention, of course, and
yes.
Many of their actions are being normalized. But I don't think they represent the majority of us. I think. Yes, absolutely. People can say, "Oh, if you stand up for whatever."
Well, then let's take our last break. We'll take a break here, come back, and we have one segment left, folks. Don't go anywhere. All right, we're talking to Don Shepherd, author of the book "The Dividends of Decency." So let's get to the opportunity that the president has in front of him. What would you like him to do if he called you and said, "Hey, how do I get the best dividend possible?" What would you tell him?
This would be difficult because, as you said earlier, you either are or aren't a values-based leader. But if I got that phone call, and I'm sure it's on its way, it would be to say, surround yourself with knowledgeable people in a variety of areas with different perspectives that have integrity and ethics. Surround yourself with people like that and listen to them. Take in all of their views and listen to them. Empathize with those people that you think of are enemies. Understand where they're coming from. And make your decisions with all of that ammunition gathered. That's best advice. Gather the best advice you can around you, a variety of views and disciplines, not just people who agree with you. Listen to them and take all that into account before making decisions. I think that's something that he could do and would make a huge difference.
Is that kind of where he started when he was hiring people like Reince Priebus, who was an establishment sort of McCain-Romney sort of guy?
Yes. Rex Tillerson, Gary Cohn, The problem was that he didn't want to listen to others' views. And yes, it started that way. But he also surrounded himself with people like Wilbur Ross and Mnuchin, who didn't bring anything to the table. Yes, he could have. He just doesn't want to listen to other views or take them into account. From what I read and see, Josh.
So what does that say about the voters, though? I mean, are they okay with that? Isn't that part of what got him elected, though? Because people so distrusted the establishment?
Yes. Josh, I did it actually ended up being 2 days of radio interviews in York, Pennsylvania. That's where Trump got elected, in York County, Pennsylvania. I just said I did 2 days of interviews. And so this was in the heart of Trump country. I don't think I sold a book those 2 days, Josh. But anyway, here's what I learned. I have no, again, they're not the enemy to me. They have their views. But here's what it was. They felt disenfranchised, not listened to, and ignored. And this brash, arrogant businessman comes along, and they feel that he's there. He will shake things up, rock the government, those people that they despise and dislike. They're not wrong in that. And that's what they were seeing. They ignored the other aspect of character and so on. I already told you, sort of the evangelicals. But what I heard in these 2 days of being on a radio station in New York, Pennsylvania, is that, you know what, all the people who were voting for Trump were just looking for somebody to change things, to listen to them, to give them more opportunity. And here was the clincher. The host said to me at the end, "So what's the alternative?" And that was, and you said it earlier, the alternative to these people was Hillary Clinton. And that was absolutely not the choice. So,
right.
Yes, that's what they voted for. And they weren't wrong. They just, this is my view, they just pick someone who really isn't going to represent them or and all that. That's irrelevant. Your point is right. Yes, that's why they elected him president. They just couldn't foresee what would be the end result of that. I'll stop. Yep, go ahead.
Yeah, part of that then has to, you know, the blame has to be on the Republicans themselves because they were the ones that didn't recognize the need from their own voters and answer that.
Yes, absolutely. In the same way that the Democrats weren't going to go into Wisconsin and Pennsylvania and Michigan and actually meet with real people and listen to them, the Republicans outside of Trump did the exact same, or made the exact same mistake. Spot on, Josh. Spot on. And now they're reeling, trying to think, how do we keep these voters in the next elections? Anyway, yes, you're right. But both parties were terribly wrong. Trump was right in getting out and listening to the people who felt disenfranchised.
Well, and now it seems on the left you have this situation where you have these socialists who are just kind of ripping apart the Democrat Party, where Democrats are now saying, hey, wait a second, the socialists are our version of Trump. I mean, you have people like Maxine Waters who are not left enough.
Yes. Oh, no, you are so right. And that's the real dilemma for the Democrats. I'm going to say I'm an independent for now, is that, look, the answer isn't the far left. Elizabeth Warren, who may have integrity and ethics, isn't the answer. Socialism isn't the answer to the country's ills. It's something in the middle. And until the Democrats pick a leader that can represent everyone, and working people and evangelicals, until they have that person, there's no way they're going to win again. You're right. You're absolutely right. And what you're hearing is this incredible screaming and yelling from the far left, it's not going to change the middle, the independents, the middle, the moderates in America. That's not going to change their opinion. You're right. Again, you just do it with much fewer words than I have.
So with about 2 minutes left, where do we go from here then?
I think there are good things going on, and I really, really hope that with all of the discussions going on, that we'll have people in the country that have more empathy and understanding of those that they consider the enemy or the other side. I hope that through it all, rather than be demonizing others, that we understand them better, that maybe this will force us to understand what the concerns are of those people that voted for Trump and listen to them. Again, 2 minutes. Empathy and understanding of others is what I'm hoping will come out of this current climate, and that the decency will prevail in the long term.
So where's the best place people can follow what you're up to and get your book? Do you have a website?
Have a website. It's donshepard.com, and Shepard is S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D, donshepard.com. And the book, of course, is available anywhere, Amazon. But I always prefer people to go to a local bookstore.
Yeah,
me
too.
They won't have it on their shelf, but they can order it there, and then you're supporting a local business. I much, much, much prefer that. But it's Amazon, Walmart, anywhere you can get the book. And I've written extensively, I don't know, over 60 articles and interviews in the last several months where all of my various thoughts are expressed. And all of it's there on the website if anybody is so interested.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. I think what you're trying to do is admirable, and I appreciate the effort you put into it.
Well, let me just say, you have been the catalyst. When you are willing to bring on people on your show with different views and express it and challenge it, you're part of the solution. Thank you, Josh.
Oh, well, thank you for that. I appreciate it. Have a great
day. It's true, man, and it's true. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, anytime. Have a great day.
You too, buddy.
All right, folks, that does it for today. We just ran out of time. It was a good show. Went by fast. Fear not, it's only Monday. We'll do it again tomorrow. Until then, look up jury nullification. Just go to Google, type in jury nullification. No victim, no crime. Today, tomorrow, and as always, my friends, may your path lead to heaven, and may freedom follow in your footsteps.